Make no mistake, if you're an author, you're an entrepreneur. You're selling the world on your book, aren't you? Of course, it's not as easy as launching a business and then tossing any old book up on Amazon. That's why I help entrepreneurs publish books on the specific topic and in the specific way that will launch or grow their businesses. Welcome to Entrepreneur Publishing Academy with your professor, Anna David. Welcome to Entrepreneur Publishing Academy, brought to you by Best-Selling Book Bulletin. Yep, bestsellingbookbulletin.com. Find out what that is. Today is the first time I am doing a segment I have long been excited about doing. And when I say long, I mean for the past month, when I came up with this idea, which is how to fix a broken book. Because so many people out there have launched books ineffectively because they heard it was easy or they got bad advice and their books are out there and they're not doing them any favors. In fact, they may be doing the opposite. So I decided to do episodes called How to Fix a Broken Book, where I go through with the author what happened on the previous launch and how they can fix it and do a relaunch. We live in a world where you can just relaunch your book. So my first victim / guest is John Checkey, and he advises people on how to have fun in retirement by investing wisely. He published a book called Spend Time and Save Money in 2020, but you don't need to worry about that because I talked him out of that title, and so many other things. We got into how the cover could be improved, how the book description could be improved, how even the byline could be improved. And all the other things. So if you want to see the show notes, which you really should go to because you can actually click on the link and see the book that we're discussing. However, it's going to make perfect sense even if you can't see it. Go to legacylaunchpadpub.com/blog/broken1. And with that, I give you John Checkey and How to Fix a Broken Book. Welcome, my friend John. How are you?
Swell. And yourself, Anna?
I am good. We discussed I'm on a cleanse, so I'm a little loopy. So listeners, let that be a warning. John brings out loopiness anyway. So
those of us who know you well, I passed up the line. How would we know the difference between you're loopy or a loopier? But that's another story.
You'll be able to tell. I'm very hungry. So John, let us talk about your book published in 2020, Spend Time and Money, How to Invest in Fun with the Family While Growing Your Retirement. So tell me about your decision. When did you decide to do a book and why did you decide to do it?
Like almost everybody you've ever talked to in your life, Anna, I had been working on another book called How to Have Fun and Still Have Money. And everybody and their dog has asked me for the last 10 years, Sal, when are you going to finish that book? So I ran into a mutual acquaintance of our Genius Network, and 3 years before that, I had interviewed his company, and at the time, they didn't have the 3 years experience they had by the time I decided to go with them, because I love talking to people who are starting out, but I normally hire people who actually know what in the slat they are doing. So I sat down with this particular guy at Genius Network and discovered that he actually owned that company, which was such a pleasant surprise, you have no idea. So then I call those folks back. My son, JJ, works with me.
Yep.
And that being the case, since JJ is not quite as outgoing as me, which is not saying much, but he's very good at networking, I thought it'd be great for him to have a very thick business card, and a book makes a wonderful thick business card. And that was the objective for it. But I've always done a lot of mathematical things, but I thought for my son, JJ, being a more normal person who had spent 10 years as a youth minister, it would be nice to prove to people, hey, not only does my father know this stuff, but actually, I wrote the book on this subject.
Mm-hmm.
And he has used it very, very well in networking events and what have you. But sadly, and this is a testament to what you do regularly, and that is encourage people to actually have a launch that actually gets reviews on Amazon. And when we pull up the website for Amazon, head shaking here, I cannot begin to tell you how many links I've sent out to people who I thought were my friends and buds. And I've asked them to go ahead, would you please review my book? And even people with whom I have reviewed their books and their stuff If I ever see them in person again, they're going to have a smack on the side of their face when I see them for the insult that they passed on to me.
Preaching to the choir. Preaching to the choir.
I'm having a wonderful day.
So what we covered so far is the goal with your book was to give your son, JJ, a business card. You didn't care about having a business card, a book business card yourself.
I do pass them out just for comic relief and autograph them for folks, and folks are happy to do that. I did go to Genius Network and pass out a couple of copies, and the other people next to them said, so what, are you not going to give us a copy too? I said, all right, fine. So I did that. In terms of, for me, being an adulting parent has been doing this for a long time, financial advice.
So let me ask you this. Do you think a book, has the book helped your business? Has it brought in clients? Would you like it to do that if it hasn't?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And no kidding. It is our business, meaning Checky Financial actually is two Checkies, not just one Checky. Yeah. And we very commonly, when we take on new clients, make it joint clients because they like the dad and me act in terms of some poor old doddering 74 and a half year old person who knows a lot, talks too fast, and occasionally doesn't speak up loudly enough. And a more normal person who has a degree in finance who graduated with honors.
So what is your elevator pitch for the book? If I got in an elevator with you and I said, John, I heard you have a book. What's it about?
To summarize it very quickly before we get to the third floor, it teaches you how to have fun and still have money.
So who is your book for?
Book is for two distinct different audiences. One, for folks about my son's age, which is early 40s, that have children, lots of aggravation, lots of chaos, they're going to soccer practice and the like. And we encourage folks to figure out who and what they want to be when they grow up. And for old codgers like myself, who have been lied to and frustrated by so many people over the years. And you can say, how on earth can you service that dichotomy in one book? But it has two people and several different messages. And for those who get a chance to read the book, it's also full of golden nuggets, which summarize each subpart of the chapters. So rather than get caught in the weeds and get eaten by mosquitoes and chiggers and the like, we summarize about every three pages what actually you just read.
Yeah. What, anyone listening, Jay Abraham, when I had him on the podcast, we talked about how important that is. I will say to you, and all of this is just meant to be, you know, my experience in the last 25 years, what I believe would make this more effective. I told you, I haven't read the book. I'm just basing it on what people are looking for and what they want. I believe you have set a challenge that is unnecessary by making it for two audiences because, you know, the whole idea is you make it tailored for one audience. People read that book and they go, oh my God, this is basically written for me. They then become the people who are advocating for you, who are saying, I love this book so much, who are wanting to write reviews because it's changed their lives so much. When I looked at the book, because I always think of an elevator pitch is, my book is for blank so that they can blank. And I didn't know it was for two audiences. So I would say, I looked at it and they said, my book is for upper middle class family oriented 50 somethings who want to plan for their retirement now so they don't have to worry about it later. Now, I think you like to have the word fun in there. I have no problem with that. So they can have fun later. To me, if I'm in an elevator with you, I get that a lot more than I got what you just told me.
That's, I would only hope and pray after your 25 years of publishing experience and help people write bestseller books, three of which were your own, you would know a lot more about this than I would. So, of course, I'm looking for lots of helpful hints and have several blank pages to go ahead and take notes. Thank
that
you.
That is sweet. Of course, this is being recorded for posterity, so you can get it that way too. So when I looked at that, I would say the idea is that, like, we want to attract people who are going to stumble upon this, do not know who you are, do not know who your son is, and are going to go, oh my God, this is the book I have to read for my retirement. I will tell you, for me right now at my age, that's I'm talking a lot about my retirement with different financial planners. So that I would be the perfect audience. So when I thought about what is a title, that I actually look at that and I don't know what it means. I find spend time and save money confusing. Spend time on.
And so did I when they, we went with it, an editorial group who shall go nameless. That being the case, and we chatted back and forth because I just wanted it to be my favorite phrase, how to have fun and still have money, which I think has very little appeal except to me.
Oh, I don't know about that. When you said that, I was like, it's a way better title. The titles I came up with, I don't think are as good. I just thought, relax in your retirement. How to invest now so you can enjoy life with your family later.
That's you can wonderful.
Have fun with your family later. Oh, we like that alliteration. So we got alliteration all over the place. So there's that. So let's talk about the cover. What do you think of the cover?
We had three different choices that they gave us since I was too lazy to go ahead and make my own cover. So I'm beyond open a suggestion for that.
My first suggestion is don't ever make your own cover. I would say...
Higher. I couldn't agree with you more. And for those of you in basically Cloudandia, I once wasted 3 weeks of my life and a business coach's life too, trying to design a brochure. And I had hired some PR people and I just said, okay, I've not paid you for this particular task, but I'm paying you $1,000 a month for other stuff, which is totally ineffective, but that's another story. Would you mind looking at this silliness and design? Yeah, for us. Within 20 minutes, they sent something that looked like somebody who knew what they were doing.
Yeah.
I designed a brochure.
Yeah, it is. I'm a big fan of, you know, delegating to those who are better at things than I am.
I'd agree with you more.
So as I said, I'm somebody who's really like looking, you know, talking a lot about retirement. I look at that cover and it does not instill confidence that that is someone I should give my money to, because it's, you know, I'll have said this in the intro, but I'm linking to this in the show notes. And I think listeners, it's so important to go and see what I'm talking about, because otherwise I'm just talking about something you can't see. But it's a drawing, it's a family of four with a cute dog, and they're in front of some mountains, and it doesn't actually look like they're spending time or saving money, which is the current title. And I think for something like this, like if it was a book about like how to, you know, have fun with your kids when they're little, that something like that, it would be ideal. I still would recommend something different, but this is a topic where you need to, this is like, you know, we're very serious about who we trust with giving us advice about this. So I would have a cover that is, I would have an all text cover, and I would possibly get a blurb, an endorsement for the cover that says, or the back cover, that, you know, somebody who possibly some of us have heard of. The thing about blurbs, it doesn't have to be somebody famous. It's somebody who's respected in that space. How about somebody who saved them a lot of money, who maybe has some nice accolade that we can...
Okay, since you may or may not have ever counseled with a registered investment advisor before, Anna, we cannot have testimonials.
But the testimonial is not crucial. So, okay. So staying on the track of the book, I will say, ma'am, I could look at that and conclude that JJ was your son, but nowhere in the description does it say that. He could be your brother. He could be, and also, frankly, it's confusing because it says JJ Checky the third. And I get that that's short for John, because he couldn't be a third unless he was named after you, but it's confusing. So if it would be way less confusing if it was John Checky.
But we have
John
done Checky everything Jr. to confuse the potential reader other than not write a book.
Pretty much. Pretty okay. much. Okay. I've seen way more confusing. Okay. Yeah. So I actually think the book description is not bad. I think it could be much better. So it starts with retirement goals are different for everyone. That does not grab me. So all of our friends who do copywriting have taught me a lot about, like, you want to get somebody's emotions, get them scared, get them excited. So I would say, are you scared? You may run out of money in retirement. I love the line about buying a cabin to hide away from your children. I thought that, like, that's perfect because it shows your voice. So, are you scared? You may run out of money in retirement, or maybe you want to buy a cabin to hide away from your children. Boddity blah blah blah. The best time to start planning this is not some future date, because I think a lot of people think that. I'll deal with that later. but mm-hmm. now, and there's no one better to help you plan it than I read this. If I don't know who you are, I don't know why you're the best person to tell me. Maybe you're just like, it doesn't even say this, you know, certified. It's just like that. Okay. Who are you? You know, I don't think your compliance company would have a problem with that. Spell out who you are and why I should trust you. And the idea that this is for your family, the fact that you did this with your son is really meaningful. Who, like, I really think play up that he's your son. Who knows how to do stuff with their family more? Look at this. I'm a family man. My son and I love each other so much that we can work together and write a book together. Moving down to product details. Oh, do you have any questions about that?
I'm sorry to say this makes beyond perfectly good sense. It reminds me of some of the discussions I had with the never to be named group. So basically what I need to just do is just go be John and JJ and let everybody know who in the slat we actually are, figure out how to wiggle waggle through compliance, which has not ever been a problem with all due respect to compliance, and basically send some revisions to the folks who thought they knew what they were doing. Amen. Yeah.
Big advocate for take control. If you're working with people who don't know what they're doing, ask your Amazon sign-in information. And none of this stuff is, I mean, it's hard if you're not used to it. I can say it's none of it's hard, but I do it every day. Moving down, there's no publisher named. And the nice thing about Amazon is you can make up checky publishing.
That's funny.
It usually says a publisher. There's nothing there. So reviews. I too have felt the pain of, let's call them former friends who have offered to review and haven't come through. You know, the statistics, like, because we put together these advanced reader teams and, you know, we get 200 people. And usually if you have 200, 50 will come through.
One influencer, just to let everybody know just how to underscore this for you. One influencer that I know, who again shall go nameless, I had asked that person 3 times to go do that. He promised me he would be doing that. And then finally, he's a communication guy. So I said, I need your help. And I described everything that he had not done and what I had gone through. And he was so cute because he knew it was him. And he said, if it's me, I'm not going to waste any time giving you, but I promise you that I will go do that today. And he kind of did it, but he did it without using his name. So he basically was like an anonymous review. So again, I can't wait to see him in person so we can chat and understand that two guys from a particular part of the country don't treat each other that way unless they want to make a new and improved enemy. But that's another story.
The anonymity is not ideal. Plenty, we all get reviews from Amazon customers, but if there's any way to get the people to who are reviewing you to put their name, that's great. So the best way to get people to the time you want reviews is at your launch. So mm-hmm. coordinating a group right then is really smart. It's going to, you know, if you can get them to come through, you know, hit your book up to the number one spot in all your categories. I don't know what they did in terms of category selection. There's a way to put your book in 10 categories. So its chances of hitting number one are that much better. What Tim Ferriss does, and I've talked about this in previous episodes, he sends out an email on launch day, all caps, subject line, urgent. Who doesn't open that? Then it says, this will take you 2 minutes and will make all the difference. Can you please click here and review my book? I think, you know, you can find fault with this or not, but I think it's great to make it clear to people, you actually don't need to have finished the book to do me this wonderful favor. I myself have been banned from Amazon. They don't let me review books and you or anything. You want to avoid that. There is no, we have tried. So it's kind of, I am kind of off the hook, but it still sucks when a friend has a book and I want to support it, or I just want to review something amazing. So the other thing that you could do, there is something called an Amazon Author Central account, which is different than your KDP page where you go in and load your books up. The Amazon Author Central is where you set up, let's look at your, okay. Yeah, that's So you don't, okay. Yeah. So you don't have this. You can set it up yourself. You put, you know, so there will be a page for John Checkey, and JJ can have his separate one with your picture. If you have a blog, your blog can go in there. You can put videos, you can put whatever you want. The cool thing about Author Central that nobody talks about is it has all these hidden little areas that allow you to put in stuff that's going to fill out your author page and gives you more opportunities to use keywords. So I'm looking at my Amazon Author Central. There's something called your editorial reviews. You can actually take reviews down below and copy and paste them up above with reviews. When you're putting it in the your editorial reviews section, always bold the names. Studies show, even if it's not a famous person, the bolded name is like what people pay attention to. Sadly, not what they say. You can add a product description, which is actually different than your description that is on the author page. You can add a from the author. It can say whatever you want. You can add a from the inside flap and from the back cover, even if you didn't do a hardcover, so you don't have an inside flap. So it's just this amazing opportunity sitting there that that just really pimps out, sorry for the expression, your Amazon.
Do you have any helpful hints how not to get banned from Amazon that you'd like to pass along, Anna?
Don't review the books you publish. That's it. Well,
that would be a kiss of death. Yeah.
I love the books I publish. I'm not lying. So yeah, that don't do that. That's not relevant to most people, but, so those are my tips. Do you have questions about that?
Tell people how they can actually hire you so that before they make the John Checkey version of mistakes, they can actually contract with you to help them with their launches.
I didn't put John up to this. Hopefully if you listen, you know, you can hire me and Hal. If you want to not do what John Checkey and JJ did, you should reach out. We do some relaunches. So if you've already done it and you want to redo it, though we've done that too, you can go to launchpadclientforum.com and fill that out. But John, so what's the plan? Should we plan for you? I'm not trying to get clients here, a relaunch and get the listeners to support your relaunch. You can get more than 6 reviews. Yeah. When are you going to relaunch it?
What I'm first going to do is find out from you.
You got hard to hear.
Okay.
Yeah.
First thing I'd like to do is, no kidding, find out who can redesign the cover to get some helpful hints. And I think I'm looking at a helpful hint-er in terms of how to rewrite some stuff, and we can improv back and forth and have JJ on. And the answer is, if you know some people much smarter than you, and that's not that hard to do when you're specializing in so many areas, hire them, get over your ego, have a nice day.
Love it. So let's say somebody is like, I want to hire this guy, or what's the best way for people to find you online?
The easiest way, if they can spell the name Checkey, which is C-H-E-C-K-I, and go to Checkey Financial.
Well, thank you so much, John. When are you planning to relaunch?
I'm going to give myself a Thanksgiving deadline.
I love it. I love it. Well, anyone listening, let's support his relaunch. And John, thank you so much. And you guys, I hope you loved this How to Fix a Broken Book segment. I'll talk to you next week.
Wait, don't go anywhere. I have a surprise for you. Yeah, it's Anna. And I have a whole new podcast. Yeah, I do. Welcome to the Publishing Party Pod.
No, that's not an oxymoron.
I'm Anna David, and I'm the New York Times bestselling author of 8 books, including Party Girl.
And I'm Zara Berry, the critically acclaimed author of Girl Stop Passing Out in Your Makeup.
We're writers who think the life of a writer should be fun. Publishing Party Pod is for any writer who agrees.
In this season, we're focusing on all the things you are not supposed to write about.
Well, we do anyway.
Enjoy the party.
Find it wherever you get your podcasts.